Good morning.
Good morning.
My name is Jerry Wesley, and I've attended the fellowship for almost 2 years. And this morning, I'm going to share my journey through alcohol abuse, recovery, and my spiritual connection. I'm going to ask you to bear with me, because as I was sitting in the front row, I was feeling a little nervous and thought I would get up here and clam up. But something strange happened. I started getting emotional. So I'm going to ask you to bear with me, because being able to be up here today and not be in jail or not be on someone's couch watching a football game and drinking it up, this really makes me proud and happy. So as I'm going through my story, if I get a little emotional, will you bear with me?
Yes.
Rat Park was a study conducted in the late 1970s by Canadian psychologist Bruce Alexander. Researchers divided rats into two groups. The first group was invited to a rat community with all the rat amenities and rat comforts. The second group of rats were separated and placed into individual cages, alone, with little comforts. Both groups were offered plain water and heroin-laced water. The rats in Rat Park routinely ignored the heroin water and drank the plain water, even when the researchers added flavoring to the water that had heroin in it, they chose to drink the regular water. The cage rats routinely ignored the plain water and mostly drank the heroin. Part of the study involved transferring the addicted rats to Rat Park. And over time, they stopped drinking the heroin water and started drinking the regular water. The researchers concluded that there's a relationship between the level of connection to one another and of self-medicating. You know, several years ago, I would have never imagined myself sharing this study in this building full of Unitarian Universalists who accept so many different ideas of community. I believed there was only one way to find God. And my fear was, if I exposed myself to others and to other ideas, I would lose my own faith. As I was writing my spiritual journey for today, I remembered a story by a Japanese master who hosted a university professor who came to inquire about Zen. The Japanese master served tea to the professor. He poured his visitor's cup full and then kept on pouring. The professor watched the overflow until he no longer could take it, and he said, "It's overflowing. No more will go in." "Like this cup," the Zen master said, "you are full of your own opinions and speculations. How can I show you Zen unless you first empty your own cup?" Like the professor, I too was full of my own opinions and knowledge that I wasn't open to anymore. In fact, some of you who know me may find this hard to believe, that many years ago, I was a gun-owning, Bible-believing conservative. Not that there's anything wrong with owning a gun. Reading the Bible or being a conservative. But that was my identity. That's who I was. I followed the rules and looked for my spiritual connection. And I still felt a certain loneliness inside. Something was definitely missing. Even from an early age, I felt this way. When I was young, my parents baptized me as a Catholic. As I grew, I did the things good Catholics do. I went to church with my family, became an altar boy, and even hosted Bible study classes. I also went to someone's house and really learned about Jesus from a Bob Jones family every other Saturday. I hung out with my best friend's Mormon tabernacle on Fridays and was even part of Young Life. I had friends, supportive parents, a dog or two. I was happy spending a lot of time and energy looking for God, but I still didn't feel connected. I think my parents had a bad sense of humor, because in the seventh grade, they enrolled me, a dedicated Catholic, into a Southern Baptist school. You may find this hard to believe, but soon after I started, I accepted Jesus into my heart once again. I continued to read my Bible. I tried to be a good Catholic. Mormon. Well, anyway, I'm sure Lee was going to go to heaven because I had most religions in my corner. I did everything I was supposed to do. I got saved, check. I read my Bible, check. And I prayed, check. They also said, no girls, no drinking alcohol, no dancing or smoking. Did I mention that I prayed a lot? I was doing many of the things they were telling me to do, but I wasn't doing what the universe designed us to do. As years went by, I was looking for God in books, by attending churches, and talking to Him. But I still didn't feel connected. I still felt alone. As I got older, I started ignoring my yearning for God by drinking, working hard, and hanging out with friends. Then one day out of the blue, I met this tall, blue-eyed, blonde Texas girl that changed everything. You see, she was a Pentecostal preacher's daughter. So I did what any self-respecting Christian would do. I married her. I learned how to talk in tongues, dance at church, and was filled with the Holy Spirit. Wow. That feeling of being alone went away for a while. But as the man-made emotions went away, the old feelings of not being connected came back. After we had two children and a few years went by, we got divorced. And I started drinking more and more to drown out my feelings. When I abused alcohol, I wasn't a mean person. I went to work, worked hard, didn't wreck cars or get DUIs. I just liked to drink. Alone or with friends. Now I'm able to see that it wasn't pretty. I thought I was the smartest, funniest person in the room. In reality, I acted sloppy, wasn't funny, and it usually ended up with me getting sick and passing out, or worse, getting in a car and driving to someone else's house for another party. This went on for a number of years, and progressively I drank more and more to medicate myself from the loneliness. As my drinking became worse, a couple of conversations with my ex-wife and with my sister-in-law planted a seed inside of me that forced me to look at my behavior. Then one day, about 5 years ago, a voice or a feeling inside of me said, hey, it's time to stop drinking. So the next morning, I got up, told my girlfriend that I quit drinking, last night and thought it was a great idea for her to quit too. It was a surprise to me, but she didn't share my excitement. In fact, she told me to get out of her house. So I left. I went to my place and decided to fill my life with things that I like to do sober. I started jogging, but back then I called it trotting. I read some books and focused on changing careers. My new alcohol-free life was pretty good, but the old feelings of being unconnected were starting to come back. About that time, I discovered a local support group that helps people with addictions and the people affected by addicts. Someone close to me was also struggling with alcohol abuse, and I was trying to fix them too. I was trying to fix someone else. At first, I called the detox center and said, I have a friend who is smaller than me, so I can get him in the car and drive him over, and when I get there, you can fix him. They said it doesn't work that way. I said it again, this time stronger, because obviously they didn't understand me the first time. I can get him in the car. I'm bigger than him. He has great insurance. Just help me get him out of the car and we can all get him fixed. They laughed and said, maybe you should call Favor Greenville. They might be able to help you. So I called Favor and repeated my heartfelt mantra. Well, they said, it doesn't work that way. Why don't you come in and let's talk about what's going on? Well, after going to Favor Greenville, participating in group discussions and listening to talks, I learned that I can't fix other people who struggle with addiction, just like no one could fix me when I was abusing alcohol. What Favor did was they taught me to accept my friend as he was, work on my own life, and be compassionate and loving when he called. So I decided to learn more about helping and offering understanding and compassion and love. I enrolled in classes at Favor and became a recovery coach. A recovery coach is someone that volunteers to meet one-on-one with people affected by addiction and help them feel like there's hope. I started volunteering as a coach and began listening to stories about how alcohol or drugs have ripped holes in people's lives. My job is to listen and help them feel like they're not alone and help them find their pathway to recovery. It wasn't long before I was working with over 20 people that were struggling. People were sharing their most vulnerable parts of their lives in these rooms. And the most amazing thing happened to me. I started to connect with other human beings on a level that I'm sure I've never felt before or have ever sensed before. A peace started coming over me that I've never felt, a joy, a happiness. The more I connected with people who were suffering, the more I felt the existence of a power greater than me. The universe, God, energy, what we call it isn't important to me. For years, I was looking for it through church, reading books, and talking to him. Now, by connecting with other people and opening myself up, I'm connected. It's more than a feeling. It's a state of being. During my journey, I found that by searching for it, I wasn't really able to find it. But by reaching out to others and serving on a human level, I indeed found it. I once read that very spiritual leaders like Mother Teresa have commented that throughout their spiritual journey, they searched for God and couldn't find him. In a way, they felt abandoned by him. However, later in the text, when Mother Teresa was describing being on the ground and serving people face to face, she experienced extreme peace and connection. She was happiest when working one-on-one with people in need. I'm not comparing myself to Mother Teresa or spiritual leaders. I feel I have something in common with them. I'm just a person who found it, true connection and happiness, by opening myself up to other human beings who are suffering. My journey started because I was trying to fill a void. Today, that void is overflowing. Life isn't always easy now, but I'm truly connected. I'm at peace, regardless of the challenges. I offer to you today that if you relate to any part of my story, to consider reaching out to others, get connected, volunteer, take action. From my experience, you will gain much more than you will ever give. You never know what the universe has in store for you if you get plugged in. As we've heard Pat Jobe say many times before, there's only time for love. Thank you.